Okay, we are finishing Shaar Beis Perek Yud Ches. So what I'd like to do is just really read it inside and learn it as much as we can without too much commentary, and then go over the Haggah. We should be able to do all that in the next 40 minutes. So Perek Yud Ches, Vihide. In other words, first all of the big print, and then all of the little print. And this is somewhat of a summation of the whole Shaar Beis. So we're finishing just in time, finishing the season here. Just want to tell you that on Sunday, my wife broke her arm very bad, number of fractures. So on Sunday morning, I'm taking her to the hospital for a surgery. So I won't be here Sunday morning. So I apologize. Vehile. We started reading this. Let's read it again. Achar Shekvar. Now that we've learned the whole Shaar Beis and we know what's going on with tefillah, we're organized. And we're taking our three aspects, our nefesh, our ruach, our neshama, the three parts of who we are, and we're lining them up. In other words, we're starting with our nefesh, which is it really starts with our goof, but that's not part of it because we're going to learn when you're davening, you're mispashit min haguf. You leave your goof behind when you daven. Your goof is almost not there. You're not supposed to feel your goof when you daven. And here we're going to have some very practical, for lack of a better word, meditational training in davening here. But so it doesn't even bring the goof, but it starts with the nefesh. Nefesh, as we learned, is our rutzon. Nefesh is who we are, our psychology, our personality. That's the nefesh. Ruach is the segue between the neshama. Hashem's giving us a neshama. Ruach, vayipach ba'apod, that Hashem blew into us. That's our spiritual energy. Ruchnius, our spiritual energy. And then our neshama. The idea is to get it all aligned. Our nefesh should be aligned with our ruach with our neshama. Our rutzin is all one thing. In other words, our rutzin is not coming from outside of us. I want to have that piece of cake. Our rutzon is coming from our neshama. What is my purpose in the world? It's a whole different place. A whole different place. What is my real rutzon? And I try to make my rutzon compatible as much as I'm able as a human being. I'm trying to make my rutzon compatible to the rutzon of Hashem. And important to say, like, what's the rutzon Hashem? Everybody walks around saying, what's the rutzon Hashem? The rutzon Hashem is simple. He wants me to do what I was created for. Like the it's not a complicated question. It's an easy question, complicated answer. But the easy answer, or the easy question, the easy answer is that Hashem created me for a purpose. I'm trying to line it. You'll never know if you don't do this alignment. You'll never know what the rutzon of Hashem for you is unless you touch your neshama. Unless you reach your neshama, then even higher. That's the only way you can know. There's no way of knowing it. You can talk to psychologists, you can talk to therapists, you can talk to coaches, you could look in the mirror, you can take aptitude tests online, you can do everything. You're not going to know what your purpose of creation is. You have hints by your talents and things that you can do. You're not going to know unless you're in touch with your neshama. This is the key. And so once we're davening, biskashus hashloisha b'chinas na'arad shebeklolos nafshay, ayidei ha'osiyah shenukudas v'taybim shebechol teva, and we're using the tools of the words of tefillah. What do you need tefillah for? The tefillah is tools, because as we said, besides for the translation of the words, every word has an ois, which is like the nefesh. Every word has nekudos, how it's pronounced, which is like the ruach. And every word has the tabim, the nigin, which is like the neshama. We learned about this. So I'm taking those three things and I'm applying it to me. There's an interesting phenomenon which I've noticed for years, and then I finally found it in the Shalah HaKadosh. That sometimes when you're davening, with seemingly, like, you know, a lot of times, I think most people, I haven't taken a poll, but I imagine most people daven, so a lot of the time we're on automatic pilot, you know. But it's interesting how sometimes, like, your brain, okay, I mean, that's human. Sometimes your brain, like, stops at a certain place. And all of a sudden you're concentrating on those words. It seems to come from nowhere. Like what happened? Like you reached a snag in your hypnosis, and all of a sudden in your route, and all of a sudden you're concentrating on Rufaydu Hashem and Rafe, Hashiva Shavtena Kvershon, or whatever it might be in Shemot Esrei. The reason says the Shalah, I've been thinking about this for years, but the Shalah says the reason for it is that that's the tefillah you need to say. That tefillah is that's your neshama saying, whoa, slow down. this is the ikar tefillah for you to say. So not that the other ones you shouldn't say, but sometimes all of a sudden you catch yourself and you should stop and be subboned into that. And that's where you do your hiskashrus of the neshamas.
Is that like really like from the ash of the neshama, or is it really like subconsciously what's really bothering you?
I think it's the neshama. I don't know that there's such a difference. In other words, you're not even paying attention to what you're saying, but the neshama is paying attention to the words that you're saying, and the neshama stops you. So there's this idea of the neshama stopping you. It's just fascinating phenomenon that we've all, you know, slow down. This is important. So Yisatze B'Toyer Machshavte V'Kavanose. I've heard G'doylem David, and sometimes in the middle of a random tefillah, you know, they're davening for the Yamud, let's say, you know, rather quickly. Then all of a sudden they stop and they give out a Geshrei or a Krechts or like something hits you. Okay, so once you've got it all together, now the trick is, and we've gotten to a very high madrega here, now we have to take everything that we are, our nefesh, our ruach, and neshama, and connect it to nishmasa l'nishmasa, to the higher neshama, which is outer body, which is not part of who we are or what we are, but it's the generator which is generating the neshama l'neshama. This is called the Lashon of Kabbalah, the Chaya Yechida. So it's above us. This is your or makif. It's above us, and we need to connect to it. The neshmasa l'neshmasa. If you get higher enough, I'm just going to give you a hint to the next paragraph. If you get high enough in this, if you can meditate high enough into what is. Here's me connecting to this neshama. Once you get to the neshmasa l'neshmasa, which is my sherish neshama, two things happen. My sherish neshama. And apparently we could get there, otherwise what's he writing this book for? Once I attach to my sherish neshama, two things become clear. One is, what am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing in this world? What's my purpose in this world? So as much as we can talk about it all day and not know, when you touch your neshama l'neshama, it becomes clear. It's like a moment of clarity that one can reach daily. Clarity. The other thing is, when you reach the neshama l'neshama, the sherish neshama, over there, you also reach the neshama hakloli. And the neshama hakloli is where all the neshamas of Klal Yisrael are separating, but not separated. They're all still one. So, you know, like everybody's trying to achieve achdus, in this world, everyone's trying to achieve this unity. Whatever we do, you know, send shalach malus, you know, whatever you do with unity. But there's not much of a chance for unity in this world, by a cynical, humble opinion. Not much of a chance. We're all different, and we all have different agendas. We all have egos. It's hard for there to be complete unity. Even a husband with a wife doesn't have complete unity. Hard to have unity. I mean, it's unique. But the only chance we have is on this level, by the neshama l'neshama, the Knesset Yisrael. Because we can get to a place where we all are, in fact, united. And that's something bigger than our egos. And it's something bigger than who we are and what we're doing here. And it's something bigger than it all, like the purpose of the whole world. What could have that realization while davening? And that you're not even going to see in the words, he says. That's how you date Sirufe Oisia Shalateva Besherish Kedushasana Elyon. That's scramble already, because there, the letters that you're saying in Shemayim have a different meaning. The way they come out to us, Ashrei Yoshve Vesech, or Rufeinu Hashem Bnei Rufe, that's how it comes down to us in our world of Gashmias. But those letters can be reassembled and respaced and redekudicized, if you will. In a higher world of Malachim, and again in the world of Yitzir, it's a different letters. Just like I keep on giving the example of Moshe Rabbeinu, who wrote the end of the Torah He wrote the letters, but he didn't write what it said because he couldn't. Moshe Lav Badoi, he couldn't write. Moshe died. How could he write? He didn't die. He was alive. So he wrote the letters. Later on, Yoshua decoded it and descrambled it, and made it into straightened it out, right? And made it into letters that we could understand. It says the Nefesh HaChayim, because she used Abik, Bezois HaMadrega. If I can reach such a madrega, as yuchal hachshiv ki lo'eino bo'olam klal. Listen to this. I can get to a place where I'm not part of this world. That's not a good place to be on a regular basis, otherworldly, but it is a good place to be when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei. Eino bo'olam klal. U'bameli yisbatel me'enav mikol v'kol. This is not talking about Yispatel, is not talking about the Yispatelus of Anivus. We're talking about the Yispatelus of, if you could imagine yourself moving out of this world and looking at the world from on top. You're the old man on the mountain looking at the world, observing. You're observing the world, and everything goes into a whole different perspective. This is this is very practical. Davenology, very practical kavana of davening, something that most kids don't learn a cheder, that you reach from your nefesh to your ruach, to your neshama, to the sherish ha-neshama, and from the sherish ha-neshama, I'm part of the whole Klal Yisrael, and I'm looking down, and in a sense, it's silly what's going on in this world. In a sense, it's very, very clear. Everything becomes very clear. As I say, the old man on the mountain looking down can see who's going to collide with who. He can see the differences that are going to happen. He's the wise one. And you become the wise one by being outside of this world and looking down. That's a moment of Shemoneh Esrei, a moment of meditation, which is clarity, 100% clarity on what's going on in my world. And if you could get there, first of all, you have a moment's vacation from all the craziness of this world. That unto itself is something. But it's a moment of clarity. It's a moment of wisdom, which we must try to achieve every time we daven. Ki b'china zois, hinala b'madregas ha'adam ata. This is much higher than what we are sitting in this world like we are right now. K'mosha k'savti le'el. V'yichlol atzoi b'sherish nishmosei b'chlal sherish ha'elyon sh'klal nishamas Yisrael yachad. And at this point, you're part of the whole Klal Yisrael. So there isn't even, you see, what divides us in this world? We're all divided. Everybody in the room is divided. Everybody in the world is divided. We're divided by ego. We're divided by goof. We're different. But we're divided by taiva. Everybody wants something different. But if you can pull away from the nefesh, ruach, neshama for the moment, maybe it's a moment, and you're in the neshama, the neshama, so then nothing is divided. Nothing is dividing us. We're just one neshama. It only gets divided when you're down here. Every once in a while in this world, there could be a moment of unity. When it's so clear that we need to win this war, or we're in this together. Every once in a while, there's a gilui of achdus in this world. Vayichad Yisrael neged ahar. We stood by Har Sinai. There's a moment of achdus. But bederech klal, there isn't. You see, I'll give you a mashal about this. I'm just saying a mashal. Just because it's before the elections, right? So politics. Let's just talk about politics for a second. Politics is the antithesis of Shemoneh Esrei. Politics, I was thinking about this yesterday. Like politics, whether it's Israeli politics, which is particularly Jewish, here they can't even wait till the whole term goes till they make an election. There's never been a full term prime minister in this country. Like there's always elections in the middle. But got to call to elections. Why? What happens at a pre-election, I'm just saying a mushel, is everybody comes up with his way or her way of solving the most complex problem in the world, which is the crisis of the Middle East, as an example. We got to kill them. We got to love them. We got to open the gates. We got to close the gates. We got to kill the leaders. We got to kill the people. We got to carpet bomb them. You're not allowed to hurt them. We got to do it politically. That's politics. Politics is the ultimate in division. Halitzitz is, I have to say something different than you.
Miflagot.
Huh? Miflagot. Miflagot. Right. Peleg. Okay. Peleg. It's no, but that's that's just the nature. If you don't have anything new to say, like one of the guys that's running for prime minister now, like the whole tie on him is, you know, like was Oxtegarnish, like for 2 months he didn't say anything. You know, like what you're not going to say anything. Don't like criticize somebody, call somebody a god if you know. And with it come like all kinds of accusations of the other one, you know, exaggerated, true, not true, who knows, you know, the media. It's all, in other words, when you look at the political system, and there's a place for it. I mean, that's why Hashem created the world. That's the place of Malchus. But when you look at the political system, there is nothing more divided than it. The animal world is not as divided. The medical world is not as divided. The world of engineering is not divided. The world that's divided is the political world. It's perforce divided. It's the opposite of Atzilus. It's the opposite of Atzilus, the ultimate in division. But we know at the end, Lev Malachim Bashamayim. That what happens really is in the Knesset Yisrael up on top here is that's 100% Achdus. So ultimately, like the Malchus of Mashiach will come from here, not from here. It'll be so clear. Ro kolame aretz. It'll become so clear what is the right way to do. The debate is not bad. It could be a healthy debate as long as everyone's not busy throwing schmutz at each other, which has no relevance to the whole issue. But the debate can be healthy, but it's all division as opposed to Achdus. So the only chance for Achdus is up here. There should be this training that, especially during the time of heavy political, and everybody's weighing in and everybody agrees, we should shoot them, it depends what you're reading that day. Kill them, don't kill them, you know, bomb them, don't bomb them. It's all about the period, but what we're getting away from all that is we're climbing up this mountain to Atzilus when we're davening Shemoneh Esrei, and we're going to the Neshama L'Neshama, what is the Ratzon Hashem for this world? What should it really be? That's the Malchus of Mashiach, when the whole Malchus from up turns all the way to the Malchus of down. Yes? And to the end of the big letters, Lekach, Lachem. Kavu Ache Knesses Hagdoyla Loiber Koidabas Cholos Tfilos Habito. And therefore, Chazal, when they wrote the Shemoneh Esrei, before we say Shemoneh Esrei, we say Hapasik Adonai Svasai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Tilosecha. We say a simple prayer that Hashem should open up our lips. And the reason for that is Kibisha Zoichla Madrega Zubeis Hatfila. Because if somebody comes to this madrega, you're not part of this world anymore. So what are you talking? Dibur is part of being in the world of separation. I say this, you say that. If I get to a point, why is Shemoneh Esrei Amida silent Shemoneh Esrei, silent devotion? The answer is because there's only unity in silence. You know, it's my Rebbe once said a very wise thing, not once, many times, but one wise thing that I remember is that he would have a chabura with the bacharim that were about to start shiduchim. Important for our children, it's important for us. They're about to start going out in shiduchim. And he says that sometimes you think to yourself, like, well, yeah, it seems to be working out okay. Like, we have good conversation, the conversation flows, it's going, it's, you know. So he says, the way you know it's a good shidduch is not if you could have an ever-flowing conversation and it always goes and it's not the way you know it's a good shidduch is that if you could be silent together for over 3 minutes and it's okay. It's not awkward. That means the two neshamas are connecting. See, it's the antithesis of the way we live, especially in the Western world. You know, people are in an elevator for 60 to 90 seconds. They can't stand the quiet. You see everybody in the elevator. Warm enough for you? Cold enough for you? What's the weather looking like? Like, just shut up. It's impossible for people to handle silence. They can't handle the silence. They can't handle there's no talking. Why is it so awkward? Why should it be so awkward? And you look at this is a Western culture, because if you look at the Eastern cultures, they're very happy to stand quietly for 10 hours, 12 hours, and not say anything to each other. They could be ba'achdus. I'm not knocking the Jews. I'm just saying that, like, you know, like, we need to talk and talk and talk. So the way that you know that you're connected at the bechina of neshama is not when you can be talking together; it's when you can be quiet together. That's a gewaldige madrega. So, therefore, when we come to such a madrega before Shemoneh Esrei, Chazal were besaken the tefillah of Adonai Sfasai Tiftach Ufi Agito Esach Hashem. You have to open my lips. I'm not even holding on the madrega of talking any longer, because I worked my way up. I worked my way up from the Karbanos to the which is the world of Asiya, to the Pesukim de Zimra, which is the world of Yetzira. You know, if you look at those Kabbalistic Siddurim, it says right on top, you know, Asiya, Yetzira. You get to the world of Kriya Shema, Birchas Krishna, it's the world of Bria. It's all like it's philosophical. Bria means philosophical. We've got reached the Rosh, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So the world of Atzilus, which is the world of quietude. I'm standing before Hashem. And there I have to say a tefillah of Hashem Svasai Tiftach. Until you don't have to say a tefillah. So what does it mean? It means that, you know, the one thing that Mesim can't do is they can't talk. Quiet. The Beis HaKvaris is quiet if you go there. A quiet place. Lo Yameis Yehal Luka. So the downside is, I actually find it very relaxing, Beis HaKvaris. Very quiet. You can have... I was saying I went to Har HaZeisim a couple of weeks ago, so you have the kever of Rav Kook and the kever of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, and... you know, they're okay together. The whole area is so, the Leshem, and this whole area is so politically confusing, but it's, you know, by so far as still, so everything's cool.
It's a God sense of humor over there, maybe.
Yeah. So the idea, like, you know, I spoke about this. People look to me like a little weird, but I'm going to say it again. Like death is a very comforting. I mean, like, death is a very scary thing for most people because it's the unknown. You know, I'm too young to die. You know, people don't want to die. Normal people don't want to die. I don't want to die. Most people don't want to die. I remember Muncie, so that, you know, my shoulder was a guy who got really sick, and he was really suffering, and he was in pain, and, you know, and they were doing all kinds of stuff to him, you know, hooked up to all kinds of machinery, and I went to visit him in the hospital with his brother, younger brother, and he says to me, Rabbi, I'm telling you now, if I ever get like that, just shoot me. That's what he told me. So, P.S., 2 years later, he got like that. And he said to me, sell my house, take all my wealth, which was a lot, do everything, and just save my life. So I said, Manny, you said I should shoot you. I said to him, he says, no, no. He says, we've got to fight for life. People want to live. It's interesting. Yeah, when you're in the situation, you want to live. But the truth of the matter is that I think what we need to understand, at least philosophically, is that, like, when we're alive, we're schlepping around this body, the goof, the nefesh, and it can become heavy, it can become burdensome, particularly when it's not healthy, and particularly when your ego gets too much involved. And then there's this idea of it is possible, and that's what Misa is, everybody goes through this. The Indian of Misa is that you could just shed that and go into a calmer place. You could shed that and go to a place of shalom, and a place of achdus. There's a place where all of that burden of ego simply doesn't exist. whenever I say this, people look at me like I'm a little bit strange, but I'm not starting a death cult here. I'm just simply saying that, you know, death is part of life. I was reading somewhere that some guy, he was talking about like how snakes, you know, how they die with dignity. So snakes, like, you know, when they get sick, you know, when it's time to die, like, you know, they go to hospital and you know, save me, help me, insurance. Yeah, no. So they, and it, when it comes time for a snake, it's like a big rattlesnake, they have a certain place that they go. And like, you know, like in India, for instance, the Indians know exactly where the place is and they do a lot of meditation there. Certain place in a certain cave that the snakes go, time to die. They crawl into the cave, they sit there, and they die. So, time to die. Appella. You find Indian gurus sit there, they meditate on this. They're alive, they come in there, they look like everybody else, you know. So it's like, they go in there, it looks like Florida, you know. God's waiting room. But time to die. They die. And that's it. They die with dignity. It's time to die. My life is over. So it's like an interesting... it's an interesting thing. Like, and then, by the way, they shed right before they die. They shed their skin. It's many of the millions of snakes. They shed their skin. But it's the idea of getting to a place where I'm not burdened by the goof. You don't have to die for this. This is the place of Mesiras Nefesh. This is the place of Shmona Esrei. With the Gedolei Ador, like Rabbi Akiva, or before him or after him, you know, Hananya Mishael Vazariah, or even during the Holocaust, or the Israeli soldiers today. When you get to a place of, I'm ready to die for something, you don't have to die, but it's a very high madrega to be ready to die, because it means to say that, look, my goof is my goof, I believe in my neshama, and I'm willing to give up my goof for the sake of my neshama. They say the when the Balotanya was in jail, so the Russian guy was trying to get information from him, and he held a gun to his head, and he said to him, you know, I'm going to kill you if you don't tell me, because he felt that the rabbi knew a lot of the information that he wanted to know about Jews and Jewish places and It was secret, you know, secret Manyanim and things like that. So the Balotanya looked him in the eye, famous. The Balotanya looked him in the eye. He says, this doesn't, you know, the gun, you know, the one Russian gun, this doesn't mean anything to me. He says, it means something to you because you have one world. He says, I have another one, and then another one, seven, he said. I have seven worlds to go through. It just doesn't mean anything to me. There's a hashkafa of it. Rabbi Kiva was besimcha. Gedol were besimcha that okay, this is the time I have to shed. But Mesiras Nefesh doesn't have to be dying. Mesiras Nefesh could be when I'm willing to do something which is above my physical, and this could be reached every time one davens. Every single time one davens, one can climb out like a base. And look down on my life. This is I can't emphasize enough what an important moment this can be to look down on my life and to understand, you know, what is going on, what's right, what's wrong. It's a moment of emes. It's a moment of emes.
Practically speaking, when does that happen? Saying the words, then before you turn around to this, you know, this repetition. I mean, is it by the end when you finish saying the words, you're waiting for the
I think while you're saying the words, you're once you say Hashem Svasai Tiftach, it's not easy to automatically be there. The Hasidim Rishonim took an hour to get there, but you get there to some level where I think Dafka the beginning of Shmona Esrei, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov. You're standing for your Oyim Lifnei Hashem. The whole world is behind me. And as you descend, you say, Ose Shalom Bibrobov. Okay, we made Shalom Bibrobov. Yase Shalom Aleinu. Make Shalom in my life also. Yase Shalom Aleinu. Those are the two worlds. Ose Shalom Bibrobov, the world up there. Now let's bring this all to the Tachlis. You know, I don't know if I mentioned this last time or not, maybe after everyone left, I said it to myself. But Rabbi Yaakov Ebdin has a kutras, I think it's called Gvul Yaivitz, has a kutras on Hilchus Kiddush Hashem. So the back of the Siddur of the Yaivitz. Hilchus Kiddush Hashem, fine print. And there he writes, I don't know, Rebbe, if he's the source or he quoted it from a source, but there he writes that if a person is standing in a matzav of Kiddush Hashem, meaning, let's say somebody would come over, somebody would come over to us and say, like, you know, bow down to this idol, accept Christianity, or I'm going to kill you right now. And you say, you think about it for a second, you say, okay, go ahead and kill me. I'm not doing it. And then the guy pulls the trigger, and the gun doesn't go off. Or the Americans liberate you, or something. You're free. But you were Moser Nefesh. Moser Nefesh. Think of the words. Nefesh. We're learning. We just spent a half a year learning about Nefesh. You're Moser Nefesh. Moser Nefesh. Take my Nefesh. It's okay. My Nefesh is for my Neshava L'Neshava. So Rabbi Yaakov Ebdin writes that if a person has that experience, and you put yourself in a matzav where you've decided I'm going to be Moser Nefesh, you will never experience tsar again in your life. Just amazing. You'll never experience tsar. Now, it doesn't mean all of a sudden you're going to win the lottery. It'll cost you no tsar. Parnassa, all these things. You were Moser Nefesh. You already put your nefesh into a higher world. Once your nefesh is in a higher world, doesn't mean you can't function like a human being. You will function, but you'll be a superb human being. Then you become a gadol. We have a case in the Gemara. Rebbe Elazar HaGadol was taken lakardum. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Yitzayin, I think. He was taken up lakardum. He was going to be killed. And then somehow they didn't kill him. He would have been one of the Asar Yimalchus. And they didn't kill him. And from that point, he started expounding unbelievable chachma that the world never knew before. If you look at the Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar, talks about the chachma that he came out. It's a changed person because he's in the Madrega of Mesiras Nefesh, Madrega of Nishmasim L'Nishmasim. L'chein Amar Shem Adnai Dafka Adonai, which is interesting. Shusayt Knesses Yisrael. So let's not lose the thumb. Adonai Svasai Tiftach. Why that shame? Or I could ask the question differently. When we say a bracha, Baruch Atah Adonai. Why? So the answer is that when we're making a bracha, we're working from up to down. Baruch, and I'm chazering the whole Nefesh HaChaim now. Baruch, blessed art thou. What do we say it means? Baruch, you are the makor of all the brachas. Atah, you're standing right in front of Hashem. There's no such thing in this world as who calls a king Atah. Who calls somebody Chashev Atah? You talk in third person, your highness, the Rav, the this, the that. It's all in third person. You talk to Hashem Atah. Because you're so close, so intimate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're right by the Bayan, Brecha. You're right by the Bayan, by the Makor. You could say Atah. And then Adonai. Adonai is where we accept upon ourselves that you're our master. And that's the Neshama Klali. That's before there's any division, there's the Shem Adonai. So when we say, and then Elokeinu, which is Midas Hadin in this world, Melech Malchus, Olam. Melech Olam is Malchus. So you see what happened? We went from Atzilus to Bria to Yetzirah to Asiyah. You following me? Not following me. When you start a bracha, you're saying, you're holding an apple in your hand. And you say that, let's start for the world of Atzilus. Hashem gave me this apple. The Makor HaBracha gave me this apple. So Baruch, this is where it came from. Atah, I'm close with you. Adonai, it's coming into this world, to a world which is grabbed by all of the Neshamas. Elokeinu is where the division, Bereishis Bara Elokim, so Shemai Vesaretz, you're in the world of Yetzira. And now I have an apple in my hand. Melech Ola Malchus. Shakoli Abigvar, Bori Priya Eitz.
This is Asiya?
Melech Olam is Malchus, which is Asiya. Yeah. Malchus hi Asiya. Lashon of the Sefer Yitzir. Where everything is all divided up. You see, this is the difference that the you know, a regular person makes a bracha because they want to eat an apple. A tzaddik eats an apple because he wants to make a bracha. To make a bracha is to go through the whole. If you make a bracha carefully and closely, which you know you make 100 brachas a day, but maybe like if we try to make one properly, one, you know, a bracha could take, one bracha to make properly could take 5 minutes, you know, so it's okay. It's good for the it's good for the self control. Hold the apple for 5 minutes, you know, 5 minutes. Baruch Ato Hashem. You can review the whole Nefesh HaChaim. So when we say Hashem Svasai Tiftach, we're here. We're on Madrega 3, right? Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira. Shehu Soid Knesses Yisrael. That's where all of the Neshama is one Neshama. Vayim B'priyetz Chayim, Seif Shara Bria, B'nidza Pasukhoi Nebat Tfilah Shabu Rabbi Seinu, Olav Shehu Kitzfila Arichta, V'shau Shabu Rabbi Seinu, Ha'mispal Tzar Sheite Liboy Lamala. This is what Chazal Bid and Yavabas Kufheyam and Beis. That when you daven, your lave should not be here, your lave should be there. Lamala. Okay, Shapir Shabbat Yodashav, Vachet Chasidim Shar, Shardim Shah Yashoid Achas. This was why the Chasidim Rishardim waited a Shah Achas, Kadeshi Chavnu Eslip Labakim, Vahu Bivor. And that's the end of the Shar Beis. And maybe we have 3 minutes, let's do the first Haggah. L'chein tiknu. And therefore they were misakim. Now that we know this yisoid of what we're supposed to accomplish in Shmoneh Esrei, shetekef achar amida, right after Shmoneh Esrei, yimsar nafshei v'ruchai v'nishmasei l'gabri l'misa. Here you have it. After Shmoneh Esrei, we practice Mesiras Nefesh. Again, Mesiras Nefesh doesn't mean I go out of my way. The way it's usually translated. Well, what Mesiras Nefesh? It doesn't mean I go out of my way. Give somebody, you know, a ride or something. That's not the Mesiras Nefesh. Nice. It's chesed. But go. It's not that. It's that I'm taking my Nefesh and I'm saying it has a higher purpose. It's not necessarily for me. I'm fulfilling my purpose in this world. And it doesn't make a difference how I personally, physically feel. So after Shemot Esrei, we say Tach. What's the kavana of Tachnun? So the kavana, in general, of bowing down or putting my head down, is my head is my brain. It's the nerve center of my whole body. It's everything that I am, right? A person is not defined generally by their hands or by their toes or even by their heart. Those are things, those are Caleb that make everything work. We're really walking heads. You know, everything is there to support the brain. You cut off a person's head, it's different than amputating. You can't amputate somebody's head. Like, see Gracia Valiobus? Yeah. You can't amputate somebody's head. Your head is where you are. Now, I take everything that I am, which is Hashem designed to be on top of my body. You know, you're not walking around with your head over here. It's on top of my body because it's the most important part of my body. And you see the most important day of the year is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Chodesh. That which gives energy to the whole year. That which gives energy to the whole month. Right? That's what the Rosh is. And you take your head and you lower it. Baruch Atah Hashem. Or Modim Anachnu Lach. So interesting, when you thank Hashem, Modim Anachnu Lach, you lower your head. Because I'm saying everything that I am and everything that's important about me and all my different thoughts and all my different, you know, ritzonos, I'm lowering it before your ritzon. Lowering your head is Mesiras Nefesh. Lowering your head is Mesiras Nefesh. In other cultures, not in the Jewish culture, I notice, probably for good reason, when somebody says thank you to somebody else, they bow their head. Thank you, sir. Jews don't bow down to anybody, just Hashem. But the concept is humble. We humble ourselves in front of Hashem. So we'd say Shemot Esrei, and then we immediately lower our heads in the Tefilas Hapayim. The Tefilas Hapayim. So the Tefilas Hapayim becomes the Indian of Misa. See, the question is, let's make sure we understand this. What am I doing in Shemoneh Esrei? What am I doing in Tachlon? Did we already do that in Shemoneh Esrei, Chaim? So in Shemoneh Esrei, I'm becoming otherworldly. Meaning I'm taking my goof and I'm bringing it lamala and I'm establishing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm looking down on the world, looking down on creation. Nefilas HaPayim is I'm finished Shemoneh Esrei. Oysa Shalom Bibrayim Ufa Yasa Shalom Aleinu. And I'm coming out with something. And what I'm coming out with, ironically, is the biggest level of Chayim, which is Misa. That I'm able to humble myself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nefilas HaPayim. So I'm bringing it down. See this, David? I'm bringing this down to the point of Malchus. I'm coming down. I've come for a landing. And my first move in my landing, before I ascend completely and put my head back where Hashem designed it to be, is Nefilas HaPayim. Nefilas HaPayim.
Why the emphasis on HaPayim?
Why HaPayim? I don't know. Why is it called HaPayim? Is it the face? You see the Chumash already. But the Chumash says, "Vayiplu al pleihem." After the Ma'aseh Korach, so Moshe and Aaron, "Vayiplu es pleihem." Vayiplu al pleihem. Vayemru kela lekei haruches. Their immediate reaction. You know, what's our immediate reaction when somebody disses us and tries to take over our position in this world? We posture. And the immediate reaction of Moshe Aaron is Vayiplu al pleihem. They humbled themselves because they understood, I think, they understood that our success against Korach or against any distraction is not going to be to fight it. It's going to be to lower ourselves and reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this point. It was the very fact that what we're dealing here with Korach and Adasa and Moshe are a lot of ego flying around right here. Politics. Politics. That was politics, right? That was politics.
Was that just the context in response to Korach?
In other words, Korach was bringing everything down, as Chaim says, to a political place.
Lama Yisnasu.
Yeah. Lama Yisnasu al Kal Hashem. Who do you think you are? I'm the boss. You're the boss. My opinion. Your opinion. You know, they lowered their heads. Meaning, let's get out of the politics and get and attach right back to the Shemayim. That's what this Haggah says. Okay, let's leave it here. Once again, Sunday I won't be here. But next Thursday, Rosh Hashanah, we'll finish our Parakeet Ches.